Hello and welcome to the Speaking for Him podcast. My name is Andrew Gamason, and I am your host, and I'm so grateful that you've joined me for this episode. If you find this episode to be edifying as you traverse on the road that is the Christian life, the narrow road, as Jesus said, rather than the straight gate, might I encourage you to share it with your family and friends and let them know what we are doing here at Speaking for Him. This truly would not be possible without all the supporters that I have, either by prayer or financially or just random texts of encouragement or any sort of feedback you can give. So if you would share this with others, plus share your feedback at the end of the episode, it would truly be a blessing to me. Well, today we are continuing on our Considering One Another journey, and we're going to talk about speaking His words. So the third pillar of this considering one another is to speak His words. And so that you are aware and reminded, the basis of this series is The Art of One Anothering, which is an article from Desiring God. And I posted this article as part of the resources on the first intro podcast of this series, so you can avail yourself of that on that podcast episode. I thought it would be a little bit redundant to share it every single show notes, so it's on the show notes for that first broadcast, and you can just go to my audio on my website, click on Sermons and Podcasts, it will bring up my audio player, and you can pull down the search list and find the Considering One Another series on that tab so that you can listen to every single episode of this wonderful series. I feel like I'm learning a lot putting it together for you, and I hope it's a blessing to you as well. Well, as you know, my friend James Wisniewski has been joining me for this series, but today it's just me because James is feeling under the weather. So I'm sending my prayers out to James, and I hope, James, that this podcast episode will be an encouragement to you. You truly are here in spirit. I thank you for your friendship and your support over the last few months. It's been a true blessing for my 2024, and I just wanted you to know that, brother. So let's start out this broadcast with our quote of the day. Our quote of the day comes from the book of Proverbs. There's a lot of wise things that we can find in the book of Proverbs. It truly is a treasure trove within the Bible. The whole Bible is a treasure, but particularly the Proverbs, I think, because they are so practical to us. And here's what Proverbs 18:21 says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So this passage basically tells us that this little member in our head has the power of death and life. That's pretty sobering, isn't it? That we have the power to bring life to people or to bring death to them. We have the power to tear them down or the power to build them up. And so it's my hope that as you listen to this broadcast and we delve into this issue, that you will realize, and I will realize, the power of our words, and that we will choose them carefully and seek to ask God to give us the power to make our words a blessing rather than a curse. Because nothing that we accomplish in this life as a believer can be accomplished of our own efforts. I saw again another Facebook post where someone was saying that they used to be a Christian and they aren't anymore. And I actually wrote to that person. This was in the comments section of a video where comedian Jeff Allen was giving his testimony. Please look up Jeff Allen if you can. He started out as a bitter atheist. He almost threw his marriage away, but God restored his marriage, took away his alcoholism, and saved him by his redeeming grace. It's a wonderful story. And this person in the comments was saying, basically, I used to be a Christian. I'm not anymore. And I basically share with them what I've been sharing with a lot of people lately, which is the Bible says that in order to be a Christian, you must be born again. And to think about that metaphor, you never see a born baby become unborn. As a baby, either you're unborn or you're born. There is no other option. And so once you've been born, it's not possible, as Nicodemus says, to enter into your mother's womb a second time. You have been born. And spiritually, that is true as well. Jesus died on the cross to give us a once-for-all sacrifice for sin. There is no other sacrifice for sin. So if you're looking somewhere else other than at Jesus, then you're looking in the wrong place. So when we talk about speaking God's words, what are we saying? Well, I think primarily what we are saying is that we want to make sure that the words we convey are words that come from the Word of God, because the Word of God is truly our guidebook for life. And I've been thinking a lot about this again as I've been listening to the Bible and just enjoying it for my Bible in 90 days plan. I'm about 3 weeks in, and it's just been a blessing once again. If you would like information on the Bible in 90 days plan, you can send me an email at andrew@speakingforhim.com, and I can actually email you that plan if you wish on a PDF. I would love to send that your way. So please contact me and let me know you would like to see it. But one thing that I am thinking about again as I traverse this journey is the fact that the Bible needs to be something that I enjoy, something that I long for. If I want to have the relationship with Jesus that he wants me to have, then I need to love his word. In one of the prophets, it says that you showed me your words and I ate them. And the psalmist says, your word is more important to me than my necessary food. And so that shows us the importance that God's word should have in our lives. So the first point that I want to make as we're talking about speaking God's words is that what our heart and mind takes in, our mouth puts out. I don't know if you ever heard that song that was popular in the 80s and early 90s, but it was, I think, from this children's music album that was a Christian album, and it was about Colby the computer. And there was a song that said, input, output, what goes in is what comes out. And it basically said that our mind is like a computer, and we have to choose the data that we put into it, and only what we put into it can come out. And that's basically what this first point is addressing. Because the scriptures put it this way. In Luke 6:45 we read, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And Jesus also gives the parallel that you can't get good fruit from a bad tree or bad fruit from a good tree. What you plant is what comes up. Another verse would be, what a man sows, that shall he reap. So if we want to gain good things in our life, if we want to have the solid life in Christ, we need to sow good things so that good things can come back out. If I spend a lot of time with people who swear, or if I listen to songs where they're swearing, or I watch a lot of swearing on TV, the natural inclination is that the next time I'm in a situation, especially where I'm angry, swearing is something I'm going to want to do because it's what I've been exposed to. Paul said it this way when he said, evil company corrupts good manners. So we need to make sure that we are spending time with those who are wise, those who are believers. I recently heard someone say that people that want to be rich spend time with rich people. Because if you spend time with the people that you want to be like, you will be like them. If, as Paul says, evil company corrupts good manners, then the opposite is also true. He who walks with wise men shall be wise, as the Proverbs say. The next verse that I want to share with you is from Colossians 3:15-17, and Paul writes there, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So we see in this passage that we need to let the peace of God rule in our hearts and be thankful. So thanksgiving is an important part of this process. And then it goes back to the word of God, because it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Because what does the word of God do? It teaches and admonishes us. And then we can teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. As we fill ourselves with the word of God, we are able to encourage one another with the word of God. In addition to being a podcaster, I am also a preacher, and I travel around to churches on Sunday mornings, and I often say that one of the keys to being one who feeds the flock is being fed myself. I can't feed people if I myself am not being fed. But isn't it interesting, the pattern of this verse? If we seek God and we ask for his peace, the result is that we are going to have a thankful heart. And the transverse can also be true. If we are thankful, it will lend itself much more to peace. And then, as we engraft the word of God, as we make it part of our lives, and this is not simply reading the Bible for 5 minutes a day and then walking away saying, I read my Bible. And I want to be quick to say here that the 90-day Bible plan is kind of like that, because you're reading large portions of Scripture, and then you're moving on to the next large portion of Scripture. But the rest of the year, I try to read smaller chunks of the Bible and meditate on it a lot more. But as you spend time with the Word of God and it becomes more a part of you, then these other things in this verse come out. And you are able to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, and you're able to gain wisdom. And then you're able to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So as you grow closer to God, as you make the Bible a priority, then you have peace and thankfulness that bubble up into your life, and it shows to others, and you get the opportunity to minister to others. My friend James, who has been joining me on this series, and Lord willing will be back for the next episode of the series, is a wonderful young man who I had the opportunity of teaching at the Potter's House. And then he and I started meeting once a week at the mall for lunch and fellowship. And we're able to talk about the Word of God, to teach and admonish one another, to encourage one another, and it's been such a blessing on my year. So my prayer for you would be that you would find people in your own life that could be that for you. I've often heard it said that if you have a Paul in your life to teach you and a Timothy in your life to teach, then it will help you lead a balanced Christian life. And then we see, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And this passage, again, is Colossians 3:15-17. But what you see here is that as you incorporate these things into your life, then whatever we do in word or deed should be done to the glory of God. And I would hasten to add that I really believe they will be done to the glory of God if our focus is on His Word. I think of this whenever we study the fruit of the Spirit, because, first of all, it says in the Scriptures that it's fruit, singular. So every aspect mentions, whether it's love, joy, peace, patience, and so on, every aspect mentioned should be a part of every Christian's life. And sometimes when we speak on those topics or we discuss those topics, we discuss them as separate fruits and we talk about ways to incorporate them in our lives, and that's not necessarily bad. But I think what will really happen when we are living in the Spirit is those fruits will be the result rather than the goal. Because we read in Philippians that it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And if we try to do it on our own, we will fail. So our first point that we've just covered is what our heart and mind takes in, our mouth puts out. So put good things in to your heart and mind, and good things will come out. Be fed, and then you can feed others. And I would want to close this point by just saying this doesn't just apply to preachers. Every one of us has a sphere of influence where we have the opportunity to teach others, and we need to be ready to do that. Peter said to be ready always to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. So the next point I want to mention is we are called to encourage one another. We are called to encourage one another. I don't know about you, but there are many times in my life where I just need encouragement from others. And I'm so glad to have people in my life that regularly encourage me to keep on keeping on and to live my life to the glory of God. Here's what 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says on this topic. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So Paul is pointing out here to the Thessalonians something that they already do, but he's saying continue to do it because it is very important. Sometimes the things that we are doing are the good things, and we need to be reminded to keep on doing them. Remember what it says in Galatians, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. So keep that in mind. And this next passage from Hebrews 10:23-25 is along those lines. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So the writer of Hebrews is saying we need to cling to our profession of faith and not let it waver. We need to believe that God is a promise-keeping God, and He's been laying that out in the book of Hebrews, that God has kept His promises, and we can trust Him. And then we are to consider one another and provoke each other to love and good works. We talk a lot about peer pressure, and it's usually in the negative sense. Like, avoid peer pressure, stand on your own, be your own person. But there also is a level to where we can go too far in that direction. Because God made us the body of Christ. He made us to live in community. And so we need to consider one another. Philippians puts it this way. We need to consider one another's needs to the extent that we're considering others before ourselves. That is so important for us to remember. And then we see that we're to provoke one another unto love and to good works. usually when we talk about peer pressure, we're talking about being provoked to evil works or selfishness or doing things just because they're cool and not having anybody's feelings in mind when we do them. But Hebrews is calling us to a higher plane. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We need to get together with fellow believers in church on Sunday morning and at other times. We need to be with people who can encourage us to do the right thing. Remember, a little earlier we talked about how bad company corrupts good manners, while good company can help us make good habits and good decisions. So we need to be there for each other. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, this world is getting darker and darker. There are evil forces at play, and sometimes it seems like the devil's just having a heyday and everything is going his way. And while we know that Jesus ultimately has the victory and we can rest in that, we need to realize that God has left us here on earth for a purpose. And we are called to let our lights so shine before men that they may glorify our Father who is in heaven. And so we need to do that. And we need to shine brighter as it gets darker, not simply hang on to our chair and keep our heads down and wait for the rapture. That's not the way God wants us to live as believers in Christ. So our second point is we are called to encourage one another. We are to seek whatever opportunities we can to edify one another and build each other up. Remember, we talked at the beginning about the power of the tongue. It's so important that we harness this small but powerful organ in our bodies. So our third point. We need to be careful not to discourage one another. Just as we need to be intentional about encouraging one another, we need to be careful not to be a discouragement. It's been said in the business world that one negative review can mean much more than 99 positive reviews. And I can say this both as a content creator and as a person in general, that the negative things that people have said to me over the years still swirl around in my brain for years afterward. Not all the time, but they'll pop in when the devil wants to get me down. He'll remind me of some of those things. And it's very hard to keep on keeping on, even though there has been a lot positive said to me as well. So I can testify from personal experience that it's important not to discourage one another, because those discouraging words, they stay in our heads even when we would rather they not. In Proverbs 10:19-21, we read, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." Again, that's Proverbs 10:19-21. And we see here, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. So sometimes that means that sitting down and listening is the best course of action. Then we see the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. So, do we want to be choice silver to those around us and pursue righteousness? Or do we want to stay in our wickedness, which is our natural state, and be of little worth? That is the choice, folks. You notice in these passages, too, there is no middle ground. All of these passages speak in the definitive article. That is what's so amazing about the Bible, and so trustworthy about it as well. And then we read this passage from James chapter 3. This is probably the most familiar passage on the tongue. It says this, "And the tongue is a fire." What a way to start. "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of the things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we man, who are made after the similitude of God." Have you ever thought about that last phrase, that when we bring down our fellow men, we are cursing the image of God? The beauty of humanity is that we are made in the very image of our Creator, and so we need to remember that when we are being nasty to another human being, we are mocking and bringing shame to the image of God. That hits me hard. And then we see, "And the tongue is a fire." What a way to start this passage. The tongue is a fire. It doesn't get much worse than that. A world of iniquity. And it can defile the whole body. And we bless God with it, and we curse our fellow men. That is the diversity and the power of the tongue. So we need the Holy Spirit to intercede for us. This is part of the significance of Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." And the purpose for that is so that we would learn what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And as Jesus gave us the picture of the in the foot washing in John chapter 13, we don't need our whole bodies washed because he cleansed us on the day that we were saved. But we all need foot washing on a daily basis. We all need to keep our account short with God and with others because we are not perfect. We're just forgiven. I know that's kind of a cliche, but it is so true. So we need to be careful with the way we use our tongue. So we need to be careful not to discourage one another. Because again, those discouraging words often stick with you longer than the encouraging ones. Although the encouraging words can stick with you a long time too, I still remember the words that a friend of mine wrote me in a note when I worked at camp in 2004. They still motivate me today. So your positive words can have a lifelong impact as well. So the next point that I want to make is that we can take God at his word. When we're talking about speaking God's words, one of the reasons that we want to be people who do that is because God's word is intended to fill us with confidence. We can have confidence sharing God's words because they are words of truth. We read here, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." And there's another verse that is not here in my notes, but I am thinking about it. And it says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. And isn't it wonderful that in this ever-changing world, we can have the confidence to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll tell you this right now. That is what I stake my very life on. That is what the ministry of speaking for Him is based on. And without that confidence, we would be, as Paul says, of all men most miserable. If Jesus just came down to earth and told us how to live and didn't give us the power to do it, we would be hopeless, because we'd be like, well, Jesus, you just told us how to live, but there's absolutely no way we can do this. How would you be anything other than miserable? But instead, Jesus says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. By the way, the verse I referenced earlier about the grass withering and the flower fading is Isaiah 40, verse 8. So make sure that you check that out to read it in its entirety and enjoy the wonderful truth of that. But isn't it wonderful that God doesn't just give us these commands to live this life? He doesn't just tell us how to treat one another. He gives us the power that we need to treat one another the way we are supposed to. He makes men and women new. He gives them the power to become the sons and the daughters of God. He gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. That's the God that you and I serve. And I'm so very thankful that He loved us and gave Himself for us so that we can live our life not in our own power, but in His power. Because if we try to live in our own power, we will fail. There are still many times as a believer that I sometimes decide to do things in my own power, or I think I have a pretty good handle on something, and God has to remind me, no, I'm the one that's in control. You're just along for the ride. Just trust me and be my willing vessel, and I will work out the details. God is patient with us, though. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust, and He loves us anyway. And I'm so grateful for that. And the goal of each of us as a believer should be that even though we are not perfect today, that we are more perfect today than we were yesterday. That we are striving to be better people each and every day than we were the day before. Not so that we gain merit, because trust me, we're not going to gain merit. And we're never going to be perfect this side of glory. But we are told to be holy as He is holy. And so therefore, we need to strive for holiness every day. Remember the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, unless your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Why did Jesus say that? Because to a lot of people, where He was ministering, believed that the scribes and the Pharisees were the standard by which they should live, and truly they should have been. Because they were God's messengers, and they studied the scriptures, but they missed the truth walking among them. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But he was also reminding us that there's no way that we can be 100% righteous. The only way our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees is if he who knew no sin becomes sin for us, so that we can be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, because Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary and rose again the third day, I am considered the righteousness of God. When God looks at me, he sees the righteousness of his son Jesus. And that is such a blessing and so exciting. If you have yet to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to do it today. If you have any questions about that, you can contact me at andrew@speakingforhim.com, or you can fill out the contact form on my website right there at speakingforhim.com. Both of those have the number 4 in them, and I really hope that you'll contact me with feedback of any kind with the contact information that will roll at the end of the show. I really appreciated the opportunity to be with you today, and I hope that as you go throughout this week, you will make a conscious effort to speak God's words to those you come in contact with, and that as you yield yourself to God, you will sense his words taking over your vocabulary where they may not have been in the past. I hope you have a wonderful week. And as always, keep serving the best of masters.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Your host has been Andrew Gomeson, founder of Speaking for Him. For more information on today's show and to leave us comments and voicemails, visit speakingforhim.blogspot.com. You can find Andrew's ministry at speakingforhim.com. That's speaking, the number 4, H-I-M. You can also interact with us at facebook.com/speakingforhim and on Twitter @speakingforhim. And when you look for us on iTunes and Stitcher, let us know what you think of the podcast by leaving a rating and review.